Radio Prague News.
The former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences, Jiří Drahoš, would win if he advanced to the second round of the presidential election next year against incumbent Miloš Zeman. Vratislav Kulhánek, former Škoda Auto boss, has officially announced his decision to run in the 2018 presidential elections. And heavy rain throughout Wednesday night has swollen rivers in central and western parts of the Czech Republic. The former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences, Jiří Drahoš, would win if he advanced to the second round of the presidential election next year against incumbent Miloš Zeman. A new poll conducted by the Median agency for the news website Seznam News suggests. According to the survey, Mr. Drahoš would clinch 53.5% of the vote and Mr. Zeman 46.5%. The poll also showed a rise in the number of voters, 50%, for whom Mr. Zeman is unacceptable as a candidate. The findings also suggest, however, that Mr. Zeman would have the edge in the first round among a broader field of candidates and also that no other candidate besides Mr. Drahoš would currently beat Mr. Zeman head-to-head. Vratislav Kulhánek, former Škoda Auto boss, has officially announced his decision to run in the 2018 presidential elections. Kulhánek, who is 73... will run as a candidate of the Civic Democratic Alliance. He now needs to collect the 50,000 signatures to officially register as a candidate. Among the runners for the presidential posts are the current head of state Miloš Zeman, lyricist Michal Horáček and former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences Jiří Drahoš. Vratislav Kulhánek is currently a member of the Executive Committee of the International Chamber of Commerce and serves on the Scientific Committee of the Faculty of Economics in Prague. Heavy rain throughout Wednesday night has swollen rivers in central and western parts of the Czech Republic. The town of Radotín near Prague registered 110 millimetres of precipitation overnight. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute has issued second-degree flood warning for the regions of Prague, Beroun and Pilsen, which will remain in place until Friday morning. Heavy rain is set to continue in the eastern part of the country until Thursday afternoon. Uma Thurman, one of the main stars invited to the 52nd Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, has arrived in the West Bohemian spa town. The US actress is set to receive the festival's President's Award at the festival's opening night on Friday. She will also personally present special outdoor screenings of Quentin Tarantino's revenge opus Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2, in which she had the main role. Some 66 new shopping parks are set to open around the Czech Republic within the next 3 years, taking up an area of around 300,000 square meters, according to a report by real estate consultants Cushman and Wakefield. There are currently 195 retail parks in the country with a total area of over 790,000 square meters. Nearly 5% of them are unoccupied. The highest number of retail parks can be found in the region of Moravia and Silesia in the northeast of the country. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Friday is expected to be partly cloudy with occasional rain showers and storms and daytime temperatures ranging between 20 and 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Frankova and you can find more news in English at radio.cz.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Prime Minister strikes a chord in Japan. Karlovy Vary's Film Festival programme director picks out his tips, and we look at Czech development aid in Georgia. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka is on a four-day visit to Japan, focused mainly on tapping new opportunities in the field of business and defence cooperation. On Wednesday, he was received by Japan's Crown Prince for a meeting that was far from formal. Daniela Lazarova reports.
Despite the distance separating the two countries, general knowledge about the Czech Republic is unexpectedly high in Japan. Not only is Japan the second biggest investor in the Czech Republic after Germany, but Prague has become an increasingly popular destination with Japanese tourists, who admire particularly the country's composers and architecture. Bedřich Smetana's symphonic poem Vltava has made its way into Japanese school textbooks, and a recent exhibition of Art Nouveau painting painter Alfons Mucha's Slav epic saw record attendance. The interest in things Czech stretches from the man in the street to Japan's heir apparent Crown Prince Naruhito, who visited Czechoslovakia in 1985, shortly before the fall of communism. Himself a violin player, he is familiar with the works of Dvořák, Smetana and Janáček, and during his meeting with the Czech Prime Minister, recalled having played with a Talich quartet in Prague and gone to a hockey match. Prime Minister Sobotka said the prince showed a keen interest in how the country had changed since his visit.
The future Japanese emperor is someone who knows a great deal about the Czech Republic and who is particularly appreciative of the contribution Czechs have made to world culture.
The Czech Prime Minister also met with his Japanese counterpart, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, with whom he discussed opportunities to broaden cooperation in the fields of technology and defence. The Czech Republic is particularly interested in cooperating in the fields of engineering, aviation, communication technologies and robotics. The fact that Japan has lifted restrictions on deploying its troops abroad and trade in weapons and military technologies opens up new opportunities for Czech firms. The two prime ministers agreed to begin talks on establishing direct flights between their countries this year to mark the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations and signed a deal on a working holiday visa program. Under the agreement, the two state citizens aged 18 to 30 can work in the other country for 1 year without a permit. At a joint news conference after the meeting, Prime Minister Abe said Japan intends to cooperate with the Czech Republic in paving the way to a broad deal on an economic partnership agreement with the European Union. At the end of his stay, Prime Minister Sobotka will visit Kyoto and lay a wreath at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial.
Daniela Lazareva reporting there. As artistic director of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Karel Och has the ultimate say over the programming of the region's biggest event of its kind. Just ahead of the 52nd edition, which gets underway on Friday, Ian Willoughby asked if some of the programme sections merited special attention this year.
Besides inviting everyone to watch the all three competition sections, because I think we are particularly succeeded to bring loads of interesting new films, I have to please all the cinephiles and film lovers, film buffs, by mentioning the section we started 3 years ago, which is called Close Encounters, which is basically the most favorite films of our friends. 3 years ago, we addressed and invited our friends, foreign filmmakers. Last year, it was Czech filmmakers, and this section is dedicated to the foreign journalists. And we have representatives from Variety, Screen International, Hollywood Reporter, The Guardian, people who've been coming to Karlovy for a long time, and they are bringing their films of their heart, such as The Searchers by John Ford, such as The Blue Lagoon, The Spirit of the Beehive by Victor Ayres, and several others. So that is something that I would highlight for sure.
The big stars this year are Uma Thurman, Jeremy Renner, Casey Affleck, and Ken Loach, of course. Of the less well-known filmmakers who are coming, who are you particularly excited about?
I have to slightly correct you. It's not only Ken Loach, but it's Ken Loach and Paul Laverty, which it's something that we really care to stress because we are honoring a creative duo, director, scriptwriter. But yes, you mentioned the most important ones. All films in competition have a very interesting representative, at least the filmmaker or actors. I have to mention Mark Cousins, who's next to Sergei Loznitsa, our most faithful friend. Both are coming back to Karlovy Vary with their new films. I would not be such a lover of Italian cinema if I didn't mention Jasmine Trinca, one of the most famous and most respected Italian actresses. Today, she received from the jury of Un Certain Regard in Cannes the award for the best acting for the film Fortunata by Sergio Castellitto, and she's bringing this film to Karlovy Vary and will introduce it to our audience in person.
Are there any particularly striking or otherwise interesting films that people should really search out and really make a special effort to get tickets for?
Probably the film of the year for me is A Ghost Story, film that we announced together with the announcement of the visit of Casey Affleck. It's a new film by David Lowery, who came to Karlovy Vary a few years ago with In Them Body Saints. And David will introduce, together with his production and writing partners, Toby Holbrook and James Johnston, and together with Casey Affleck, A Ghost Story, this one-of-its-kind, beautiful film poem, very visually striking, contemplative film about love and loss and ghost, etc. It's a beautiful film.
You were recently on the Uncertain Regard jury in Cannes alongside Uma Thurman, and you've been to the festival, I'm sure, many times. Is there any way that you'd like to see Carlo Vivari become like Cannes or more like Cannes?
Well, I think one of the things people respect and appreciate about Carlo Vivari is that we don't really look right and left. We just go our way and we try to do our job as good as possible. It doesn't mean that I don't admire and appreciate many things about Cannes, and this year experience on the jury was unique from this aspect, that I really succeeded and I had a chance to see the way the festival is being prepared, and I was happy to see the same level of enthusiasm and commitment by the staff. It's just on a bigger scale, but of course the core and the heart is the same. It was just an extraordinary experience.
Carol Och there speaking to Ian Willoughby just before the start of the Carlo Vivari Film Festival. Now it's time for our regular feature in which Daniela Lazareva looks at the work of the Czech Development Agency in Georgia.
The Czech Development Agency, set up in 2008 to help eradicate poverty and contribute to sustainable development, currently operates in over a dozen countries in different parts of the world. One of these long-term projects is in aid of the picturesque Tusheti protected landscape area in the north of Georgia, where Czechs have been active since 2013. Michal Hošek, an expert on protected landscape area management and a member of the team currently there, came to Radio Prague studio to talk about the agency's work.
In our project, we are focused specifically on the nature conservation, but also, as you said, on the tourism sector, because it's quite connected together. You cannot somehow split it, because it influences each other. So we started to help the Protected Landscape Administration 5 years ago. And that time the area was established. It's quite a special area because there is a small group of or a small community of Tushs, Tushetians. Those are people that for centuries defended borders of Georgia against some invaders like that time Dagestanis and Chechnyans, etc. And they were very successful, so they are very strong people. Thanks to natural conditions, they were quite separated from the rest of the Georgian community. But then later they were given by the king of Georgia some land in the lowland nearby to Tusheti. So they changed their way of life and they spent winter times, winter seasons in lowland, and they spent just a summertime, summer seasons up in the mountains.
They have flocks of sheep, I understand, and so they drive sheep up.
Yeah, and they have a flock of sheep, and then, yeah, this is something like a main job for a lot of them. But now the situation changed a lot during the communist regime, because just few people kept the original or the traditional way of life and were staying up in the mountains, just few families. So it happened that the region was almost abandoned. Just during the summer season, few thousands of people were there in their old houses, but not some villages, a significant part of villages were abandoned for the whole year. Of course, the Georgian government wanted to do something with this and to somehow
keep it alive.
Yeah.
Basically, you're helping to prevent its depopulation now.
Yeah, we are helping to the population to live there for the whole year. Of course, we are sure that it's impossible that there will be more than a few hundred people during the winter time, but still it's very important because they are somehow keeping the infrastructure there. They are looking after the whole area. Of course, they can have a cattle there, etc. What the Czech Development Aid did as a first project or carried out as a first project was that we gave them a solar panels. So we allowed them to use the electricity for the whole year, because there is no connection from the lowland. Now they have mobile phones, they are even connected to Facebook, so you can see pictures from Tusheti during the winter season, no problem to be in touch with them. If there is a problem, some healthy problem, etc., they can call to the lowland and they will come with a helicopter or something else. So it's much easier. And it was the first step that was very important, because since that time, they remember or they really appreciate Czech Development Aid as very, very important part of their lives.
Right. How many people are we talking about, roughly?
Roughly during a summer season, it's about 3,000 people. But it's important to say that there is more than 6,000-7,000 tourists, and this number is increasing fast each year. So because now tourists are more and more interested in places that are almost not explored or quite remote, and this is a case of Tušety.
You said they have no problems with livelihood. What do they do?
What do they do? They
cattle, crops.
They have basically. Cattle. They have sheep. A part of them that have homes or houses in lowland, they just spend holidays there. For example, 2 or 3 months doing almost nothing. They are just plant their own vegetable, etc. The life there is quite simple, but also very, very cheap. Because if you are there, then you need almost nothing. You need to be in touch with other people, and then you will exchange things. So if you, for example, have some eggs, then you will give it to your neighbor, and the neighbor will give you some sheep, meat, etc. So it's really very simple.
So
and
someone
they really
has
like
cattle,
it.
Someone grows vegetables, they basically are self-sufficient as a community.
They are almost self-sufficient. The road, it's about 70 kilometers of very bad road, quite dangerous. So if we are able to reach the area just by off-road cars, well equipped, it takes 5-6 hours to go to Tušety because you have to pass the pass, which is about 3,000 meters above the sea level. So not everyone is really able to go there because some people are really afraid of heights, and that's a problem for them. But as I said, I think there is a lot of tourists. So we have 3,000 local people, and then we have much more tourists during the summer season. And this is also from which what they live a lot because they...
The tourist industry.
The tourist
You're helping
industry.
Develop that.
Yeah. So they have a lot of new guest houses. Still, the accommodation there is quite cheap. Of course, they have a very good
very
meal.
Very simple.
Very simple, but very good.
And they offer their own food.
Yeah. They offer their own food, which is very tasty, very tasty. It's not so simple because they are able to cook almost everything there. So you are quite satisfied. I think the only danger for tourists is that they drink a lot. The alcohol, I mean, which is also a custom
what do
in
they
Georgia.
Drink? They make their
it's
own.
Called
brandy.
Chacha. It's called chacha, which is something like brandy from wine grapes. And they are so grateful if they have a guest that they really offer you a lot of this alcohol, and you have to be really careful about how much you drink during the night.
Yeah. And what is cooperation with them like? What kind of relations do you have with the locals now?
We have a very good relations because we have been working there for more than 5 years, which is quite a long time, and they really know what we did for them within the project. We were not responsible for the solar panels. It was the previous project. We were responsible for the preparation of management plan for the whole area, which means that they established the protected landscape, but they didn't know how to manage it and what are the priorities to be carried out. So in 2 years, we had a survey in the whole area. So I may say that we know the area now more
like
or
the back
better,
of your hand.
Better than some locals. Yeah. And then we prepared the management plan that covers not only the nature protection, but also other parts of their way of life. For example, how to develop the infrastructure, how to keep it, how to maintain it, what is important in other sectors, like, for example, waste treatment, tourist sector, of course. And based on this, we decided to continue in our project and to help them in one of the most significant priorities for this period, which is this tourism, because if you see these thousands of tourists without any information going through the area, you realize that it's quite dangerous. And these people are not only quite well equipped and well trained like Polish and Czech people, and they are quite known for that. Those people are also from Dutch, are also Dutch or from the Netherlands and from other countries, and they go to the area with no real experience from quite high mountains.
And no knowledge of what to expect.
For example, in 2 hours, you can be in the storm, which is really very strong, and then you are in problems if you don't know how to protect yourself. So we marked trails. It is the first system of trails in the whole area. Then we published the map, which is now available for everyone because it's also in the electronic version at the website. Yeah, we helped them last year to develop their own website with information, because they didn't have even a website. So it was quite important for us to persuade them at first that it's important, and then to help them or support them financially to really do it. And we will continue till the end of this year. So this tourist infrastructure is not finalized, but it will be finalized, the basic, say something like a backbone of it, this year, and then we will see what to do. But we were asked by the Georgian government to continue in another protected landscape, because when they saw the success in the Prtushety protected landscape, then they asked us to help or to do same things in another one, which will be established till the end of the year.
So the life is a fascinating mix of old and new.
This is so. What is quite pity, you don't see many young people or new generation continuing in this traditional way of life, because they are more interested in going to cities and to spend their lives in better conditions, let's say. But still there are some, let's say, swallows. Some new people are coming back from cities and try to continue in customs that are inherited from their families.
How do you communicate with them?
In English, our, let's say, advantage is that we at least understand well Russian. I don't speak well Russian, but I understand everything. But English. English is the common language for us.
In a video about the work of the Czech Development Agency there, I saw a small beer brewery.
Yeah.
Is that right? And I saw something that is called a Czech fortress there that volunteers are helping to preserve.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
The area is quite famous, not only this Tushet area, but also larger region in Caucasus Mountains is quite famous because they built tall towers during the medieval times. And their purpose was to protect families or communities against these invaders from Dagestan and Chechnya. They are very nice architecture heritage, but unfortunately, because of lack of interest and maybe of financial resources, a lot of them are quite damaged, and there is a danger that they will fall down. Therefore, not only Czech people, Czech volunteers, but also other groups from other countries help them to reconstruct it. Czech volunteers are focused on what you said, on Keselo fortress, which is in Omalo village. This is a center, this is a real center for the whole region. And there is, I think, 5 or 6 such towers, and they were damaged 15 years ago. And now they are quite well reconstructed. Czech volunteers still continue to support the community in Omalo, so they go to Omalo to spend their 2 or 3 weeks each summer season. And that's why it's also called the Czech fortress, because it didn't finish when they really reconstructed these fortresses. You can see that there is something like relation between locals and these volunteers, and they really like to go back, and this is a part of their life even.
They've just made friends there.
They made friends. Yeah, and they continue to have, and they carry out archaeological surveys there, etc., because it's quite important to, there are just few information about the history.
You spent quite a while there yourself. Was there any particularly rewarding moment for you in this work, or was there a family that you are close to?
There are a few friends, and we are close to each other quite, but what is the most touching for me is there are few very old people still living in the area, in villages. Some of them live just alone in a village. And if you approach them, and you are immediately invited to their homes.
They bring out the best they have.
Yeah. They bring up the best they have. And then when you ask how old they are, then you are told that they are 80, 85 years old. But they are in such a good shape that it's incomparable with people from Europe in 50s. And it's something that I really, now I see a difference. How this simple way of life is helping you to live also quite a healthy life with no unimportant things around you. You are focused just on what is important. You are more happier than people from the lowland. It's also possible to see it in Georgia. People that live in lowland, they are interested in many things. They are watching televisions, etc., etc. And they are, sometimes they are wasting their lives by doing these unimportant things. Up in the mountains, maybe you do nothing, but your mental health is much better. And I believe that those people are much richer, talking about their thoughts, about their perception about the life, about the world, about how it should be done, if it is not good now, etc. I'm not sure if I'm clear.
You're very clear.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. If you were to invite visitors, tourists to Georgia, how would you describe the country?
It's very diverse, and I'm not talking about biodiversity only. I'm talking about communities, because it's really something like a cradle of Europe, one of cradles for Europe. So if you read old stories from Greece and from other countries, then you recognize that some of them are from this area. These communities were quite separated, and they developed their own ways of lives in Caucasus Range. So I definitely would recommend to tourists to go to Caucasus, because this is something very special, but also to go to some other parts of the country, like Ajaria, which is a region near Turkey on the seacoast of the Black Sea, because then you see a lot of very old Turkish architecture, and you see a mixture of Turkish and Georgian architecture. But talking in general about Georgia, you will enjoy everything. It's a very safe country. People are maybe poor, especially in the countryside, but they are very generous. There is very good cuisine, for me one of the best all over the world. What they cook, what they are serving you, it's something incredible. And if you go through the country and you are interested in biodiversity and in the nature, then you will see everything from the Black Sea level to more than 5,000 meters in Caucasus Mountains, even some deserts near to Azerbaijan. So everything in very small place.
Mr. Hoshik, thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you too.
Michal Hoshek ending that feature by Daniela Lazareva. If you have any comments on today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But for me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.